All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude. Coming up, we'll tell you if there's any room left for Le'Veon Bell on the Steelers bandwagon.
And we've got a salute to our troops for Veterans Day weekend. But we start every day with a Whitlock. So what you got today, big dog?
All right, before last night, I hadn't been all that impressed with Mike Tomlin's Pittsburgh Steelers. They'd beaten up a boatload of mediocre teams, the Browns, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Falcons, the Buccaneers.
Yuck.
Before last night, the Steelers' victories had come at the expense of teams with a combined record of 18-23-1. Before last night, Pittsburgh's lone victory over a team with a winning record, the Bengals. Mike Tomlin owns the Bengals and Marvin Lewis the way the Globetrotters own the Washington Generals. Last night changed everything for me. Last night, the Steelers dismantled the Carolina Panthers and derailed Cam Newton's MVP campaign. Last night, with a 52-21 victory, Tomlin, Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and T.J. Watt announced themselves as the best team in the AFC. Yep, I like the Steelers more than the Patriots and the Chiefs. The difference is the Pittsburgh defense is significantly more lethal than New England's and Kansas City's. The Steelers had the best front seven in football. Watt, Cameron Hayward, and Bud Dupree pressure the quarterback from the edges, and linebackers John Bostic and Vince Williams clean up any messes in the middle and chase the quarterback when called upon to blitz. The Steelers are tied with the Vikings for the most sacks in the league. Kansas City simply can't match Pittsburgh's defensive personnel, and Belichick's schemes cannot match Pittsburgh's relentless pressure. On offense, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and James Conner did not take a backseat to the offensive personnel in Kansas City or New England. Brown's the best receiver in football. Juju is the best number two receiver in football. And Conner's is playing as well as Kareem Hunt. Okay, Big Ben's the third best quarterback among himself, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes. But there's an intangible working in favor of the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell's refusal to play this year has galvanized and motivated this team. I think it's certainly motivated Pittsburgh's offensive line. The unit is determined to prove it doesn't need Bell. This entire team has a chip on its shoulder. Tomlin wants to quiet critics like myself and Terry Bradshaw, who say he runs a ship that's too loose. Big Ben talked himself into a corner with retirement talk and whining about the team drafting Mason Rudolph. The Steelers are hungrier than the Chiefs and the Patriots. Pittsburgh is the best team in the AFC right now. Their victory over the Panthers is more impressive than any victory the Patriots and the Chiefs have this season. And yes, I'm well aware that the Chiefs beat Pittsburgh in September. All right, joining me at the desk, Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson, former Pro Bowler D'Angelo Hall. That dude, am I wrong? Are the Steelers the best team in the AFC?
You're wrong right there. Let me hit you with a little Dog Pound intro. Remember Dog Pound, Snoop Dogg, Lil Crew? Welcome. We've been expecting you. I've been telling you all year long, and I had to just remind you right now, Jason Whitlock, that this is what Mike Tomlin does. He steadies the ship. He steadies the course. This team was a 13-3 team last year, despite having issues in the beginning of the season as well. And they figured that out. This year, they will do the same thing. And I've been telling you that time and time again, that Mike Tomlin's lack of control and lack of discipline in terms of making sure his team stays in one accord is greatly exaggerated. Look at what he's been going through in the last year or so. A quarterback who wanted to retire. He has a U.S. Army captain on his team who's like, this anthem protest is for y'all, not for me. A wide receiver who's Facebook live in him, and then a wide receiver reckless driving. A running back who's holding out and got suspended last year. By the way, he also had a traumatic incident where a linebacker was paralyzed on his team and then had to return back to battle with these same guys, even though they know about their own mortality. All that said, 13-3. All that said, now you just arrived here and gonna plant a flag and say it's the best team in the AFC. Yeah,
right now, and you disagree.
I disagree. You know why? There's a Kansas City team that already has beaten them, one. Two, there's a Patriots team out there that's beaten them five in a row. Look at these facts. Three, they play the Chargers going forward, and people are forgetting about the Chargers. Only losses are to the Rams and to the Chiefs. And then you look at all that and put it in totality. It's great that they've arrived in the tier one conversation. Respect to you. Respect to their performance last night. But best team? No, not yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either, man. The Steelers are a really good football team, and we knew that. Even with all the turmoil that was going on in Pittsburgh, everyone wanted to jump on Mike Tomlin. And I'm like, hey, look, I know this guy. Those guys are going to be okay.
Yep.
And everyone wants to compare them to New England because New England is really the standard. There's no other team who's been as dominant for the long term as Pittsburgh, in my opinion, besides New England. And so, though I think they're right there on the cusp of being in that conversation, I still defer to New England. Until you can go in there and beat them in the playoffs when it's most needed, because we know Belichick is going to give y'all everything in the playoffs to try to get to that next game. In the regular season, I don't take New England's wins and losses too seriously. The same thing I can say about Pittsburgh. When it's playoff time, they play football, and consistently they've been able to do that over the long term, well, at least since Ben's been there for the past 15 years.
The best football team in the AFC, to me, is the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, all the weapons they have. Look, when they went down to New England and lost that game, the way Mahomes acted to the interceptions, the way they got behind, and he came back and said, hey, look, I got it. Don't worry about it. A young quarterback, they have so many weapons on offense. They've got Hill. They've got Kelsey, the tight end. You know, they've got Kareem Hunt. They've got so many weapons. And the thing is, they utilize them weapons. Right. It's a difference if you got the weapons and you don't get a chance to utilize them.
Keep talking. Whatever, Whitlock. You forgot who you are. I represent for you. All right, keep talking, damn it.
I was wondering.
Where is that? Where that KC at? I need that part out. I need that part out.
Play defense.
Thank you.
That's my problem.
Thank you.
City.
He ain't got to play defense.
They can outscore. I know that he ain't got to play.
What's better than a good D? A great offense.
A great offense.
And I got that.
No. Listen.
Where's my Casey at?
Pittsburgh can go weapon for weapon with Kansas City, particularly if Le'Veon Bell comes back. Mm. But even without him, they can go. They got the number best wide receiver in Antonio Brown. And Tyreek Hill is nice, but he is not Antonio Brown. Big Ben. Look, I love Patrick Mahomes. He's, you know, to me, the best quarterback in football right now. But Big Ben has playoff experience. Patrick Mahomes has none. When I go look over at New England and when I look at Kansas City, it's the defensive personnel. And there is a cliche, they can outlaw defense all they want. But if you can sack the quarterback and you can lead the league in sacks, that's what, to me, has been missing the last couple of years from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is no pass rush pressure. They had to manufacture it all with exotic blitzes. Now with T.J. Watt, Cameron Hayward, and Bud Dupree, they have guys that can actually just get to the quarterback off of skill. That, to me, separates them. At some point in the postseason, you got to make stops. You got to create third and long. Pittsburgh's going to do that better than Kansas City or New England.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Look, when we talk about why is defense still important in a league that seems like it's trying its best to minimize it, undermine it, it's because it's a game of possessions. And if your defense is just allowing a team to get a field goal here and there, while your team on offense is getting those touchdowns in a game of acreage and a game of possessions, that's how you come out with the advantage. I love what I saw last night against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, but let's be real. That's not KC. Yeah. Like, don't even get it twisted. Yeah, Cam Newton and McCaffrey is not Arrowhead Stadium, KC, where they'll have home field. And you know how raucous it is there. The loudest stadium in the NFL. Yes, I heard you, Seattle fans. The loudest stadium is in Kansas City. And when they get rocking with that offense that they have, they're going to have that advantage.
Can I ask you, didn't you say – Didn't Kansas City beat Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I thought they did.
In a shootout.
I just want to make sure.
In a shootout.
They beat them. They don't put beside it a shootout. They put wins and losses.
You know what they say? They do say in September. And look, I'm a Kansas City fan. We struggle in January. They have a more experienced quarterback, and they have a coach who has won a Super Bowl. Kansas City does not.
Now, you're absolutely right. When you talk about going into that place and trying to play, Kansas City is a tough place to play in. Mm-hmm. But I just go back. Carolina did not look very good at all. So it's kind of hard to say Pittsburgh, this is what we're going to get moving forward. They've gotten a lot better on defense, and those pass rushes do apply a lot of pressure. But until I consistently see them do this and do this – against a better team than Carolina.
Wow. That's a good pivot. So you don't like Carolina?
No.
Why not?
Carolina, to me, they're just one of those teams that they either play great or they play terrible. It's no in between for them. And you got to be consistent in the National Football League to be viewed as a contender. So even though their record says that Carolina belongs in that top echelon of NFC teams, to me, they're still down here with the Eagles, who's, 4-4 team, Washington Redskins coming off of some crucial injuries. It's still a lot of spots in the NFC that are up for grabs. And I'm not buying Carolina because the two times I've really watched them play, they've laid goose eggs both times, and I haven't been impressed at all with them.
The Steelers are that same kind of team. They're kind of up and down. I mean, they go and they tie.
They're on a run
right now. They tie the Cleveland Browns. What did Kansas City do to the Cleveland Browns? Beat the brakes off them. They beat them
first week of the season.
It don't make a difference.
Yeah, they on a run. They're on a run right now, Eric.
I still say the same thing. First of all, I'm a Steeler. I was a Steeler fan growing up. I want them to do good, but still for my team. Mm-hmm. But I still think Kansas City. Thing I like about Kansas City, too, you talk about Mahomes. You know what? With a young quarterback, he's like, hey, this is like college. It's everything is so good for him. He's not even afraid. He's not afraid to throw an interception. He's not afraid to have a bad play. Okay. I come back and just do it over. When you're a veteran quarterback, you're like, man, I can't put my team in a bad situation. I can't do it.
No, when you're a veteran quarterback, you have experience overcoming adversity, and you have experience. You know what playoff football looks like. I love the Chiefs and Luck, what they're doing. That defense, other than D Ford, is a nightmare. Those inside linebackers are horrendous, and in comparison to Pittsburgh, it's just there's a wide gap. Marcellus, I wanted your take on the Carolina Panthers. What should we take away from them after last night?
I think you're onto something, D'Angelo. When you talk about this team and its highs and its lows, and we really don't see a lot of middle ground from this team. And it's interesting, by coincidence or by correlation, that the mental makeup of their leader, Cam Newton, has always been talked about in those same extremes. If Cam is balling, Cam is all in. If Cam's not balling, look out for him and look out for this team. I do see the same cracks and voids. I can see that even though Cam Newton's completing 66% of his passes and looking tremendous this year, before last night, MVP campaign, it just doesn't match up in a relative scope to a New Orleans team in the same division in the NFC, to a Kansas City, to a Pittsburgh, when they're firing on all cylinders, because they just don't have the same weapons. So I think that Carolina right now is smart to do what they did postgame. Coach Rivera, Cam Newton both said, we got whooped. We've been there before. Yeah. When coach said, hey, when y'all come here tomorrow, we're going to lift weights. We're going to jog around, get this lactic acid out. We ain't watching that film. We throwing that away. No film Mondays. Trash can, because that was an anomaly for this team. However, they still have an uphill battle in terms of putting up points consistently against other teams in the NFC.
Where both of you all are right, and I've been watching Cam and Carolina all year. Your point about inconsistency shows up within the same game.
Yeah.
Because what we saw last night, we've actually seen Carolina play like that for two or three quarters in a game and then snap out of it and win. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't do it against this Pittsburgh team because the pass rush pressure was too relentless. They on the road. I'm going to write it off a bit about Carolina. Thursday night on the road is very hard.
Difficult.
That's why they're mentally writing this off and saying it says nothing about us. It does say a little something.
Has a team won on the road on a Thursday night game? I mean, it just seems like every single
two
time.
Have, two have, but they played Arizona and somebody else is not very good.
Cleveland probably. Played,
maybe it was the Jets. the Giants and Arizona have lost at home on Thursday
night. My point.
That's it.
My name is Chief Warrant Officer 3, Benjamin Haggard, currently out here in Bagram, Afghanistan, flying for Task Force Odin. I just want to send a shout out to my mom and family back in San Diego. I miss you guys. Monta Vista Monarchs, do strong this year, keep going. And LA, San Diego, wherever you guys are, I'm a fan of the Chargers. I take you with me. I'm not going to make a game this year because I'm out here, but next year I will be coming and watching at least one. Go Chargers, bolt up, win it all.
Fox Sports salutes veterans. That's a look at Fort Benning, Georgia, which will be home for Fox NFL kickoff and Fox NFL Sunday this weekend as we honor the troops. Catch it all starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Sunday on Fox. All right, welcome back to the show. Time for some big stories. Whitlock and Wiley, Eric Dickerson and D'Angelo Hall are back with us. Let's return to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers got a huge win last night, pummeling the Panthers 52-21. But they could be getting an even bigger win next week, with team owner Art Rooney saying he expects Le'Veon Bell to rejoin the team by Tuesday's deadline. Bell's absence has caused some tension between him and the offensive line, and Bell's role is unclear, with James Conner balling right now. Listen, it's always a good thing to get someone back as talented as Le'Veon Bell, but this it could be a little disruptive. There could be, this team right now has some momentum and an energy that Le'Veon Bell could disrupt. He could be the one guy in the locker room not pulling all the same direction as everybody else. Mm. Le'Veon Bell's about that money right now. The Steelers are about that. I know Eric loves
Why
that.
Are you looking at me?
He was always about that money.
I heard that chuckle. That Hall of Fame holdout money chuckle.
That little bit of money they were paying me.
Not for the time.
It was time. It was for the
He's
time.
He's going to be go about ahead. The money. The Steelers are about winning the Super Bowl.
I'm about winning, too, anyway.
It could be interesting.
It's amazing that now we're going to isolate Le'Veon Bell as, like, the only dude in that locker room about the money. Like, every single player, if you take off the jersey, you take off the underwear, Under Armour and all that, guess what's under there? Something said, I'm about that dough. I'm about that money, and I'm going to use my game to go get what I want. Le'Veon's in the same position as everyone else. He's going to pull in the same direction. He's playing a long game. What a sacrifice he's made in terms of saying, I know what the big picture looks like, and I'm going to help you guys, if I come back in that locker room, help me go get what I want, which is my ultimate goal of being appreciated monetarily. Nothing wrong with that. That adversity that they're facing right now, how's he going to come in? What's the dynamic looking like? That can break some. But when you overcome that adversity, oh, man, are you stronger than ever? Think about that, because they've been pulling with an unknown James Conner, who's turned into something that is reliable. But he ain't Le'Veon Bell. And if Le'Veon Bell says, let me add my momentum to your already steaming momentum, this team is going to be one of the best teams.
Hey, but this is where I am with it. It could be ugly or it could be nice and smooth. We as men, we don't talk about our feelings. I've said that before. And so guys aren't going to come in that locker room, hey, Le'Veon, man, I'm sorry about talking about your money, man. I apologize. Le'Veon's not going, hey, it's okay, brother. What under the bridge? Mm. They aren't going to speak about it at all. And at some point, it's going to become a little, I can see some tension arising, because those guys, I feel like, those offensive linemen who went on record talking about Le'Veon's money, at some point, they're going to say, hey, man, you know, we kind of want James Conner in here. He's been here from day one, because that's what I see. When you're talking about a guy's money, to me, it's getting personal. It's yeah. getting very personal, because to a man, you just said everybody in that locker room wants the next guy to get their money. Mm-hmm. That's not how these offensive linemen came out in the media. It felt like they were, man, Le'Veon, if you ain't rocking with this team, we don't want nothing to do
Pardon
with you.
Pardon me, Eric Dickerson.
Yes, sir.
You lying up here like this? First of all, if you as an offensive lineman collective want to talk about my money, when I show up, we going to talk about why you talking about my money. Like, you broke the rules. But, I got a new rule. But, men don't talk about their feelings, but this man is, because y'all went out there and told your feelings, my turn.
But that's what they did. Exactly. That's what they did. So I'm saying it could be a problem in that locker room. I don't know. I don't know the dynamic. I don't really know how these guys feel. But I could see it absolutely being a problem when Le'Veon walks in that locker room and guys who felt like he hasn't been there since day one. I'm totally with Le'Veon. There's no way I would have went in there, because you fall under the same category that Earl Thomas fell under. Mm. By going out there, hurting yourself, the team's going to discard you. That, you know, they don't care. You were just leased for that particular season. And so I'm totally with Le'Veon and the way he's handled it, but I did not like the way the Pittsburgh O-lineman came out and said, hey, look, man, we wanted this guy here. He told us he was coming here then. Who cares if he told you he was coming that day and he didn't come?
Look, bring it
that's
down,
bro code.
Bring it down, Hall of
bro
Fame.
Code.
Right
this ain't, this, we're not a bunch of kids. These are a bunch of grown men. You got the lasso of truth. The lasso of truth was Wonder Woman using. The offensive linemen want money, too. It is what it is.
And they've earned a bunch this year.
They have earned a bit, but they never going to make the kind of money Le'Veon makes. Right. Of course, that's going to bring on some jealousy. It does. You may never say it, mm-hmm. but it's going to bring, man, why he got to make $20 million? I'm only making $2 million. I mean.
They did say that.
It is what it is. But you know what? James Conner has done a very good job for that football team.
He has.
Can it change the continuity a little bit? Because once you start rolling, they're rolling right now with him. But if you go to the playoffs with James, would you rather have James Conner or Le'Veon Bell? Mm. Most definitely Le'Veon, because he gives you so many more
options.
That's
what you think and we think. That offensive line, to D'Angelo's point, might think they'd rather have James Conner.
When it comes time to win the football game, you're in that stance, you're in the back, and it's cold, you ain't thinking about who back there, Le'Veon or is Conner back there. When he picks up a touchdown, you're like, come on, man, give me a hug. You say, hey, man. You gonna give me some money to make that block for you?
Right.
No, it ain't like you don't think like that.
Blocking for Le'Veon's different than blocking for James Conner.
Let me tell you something. I have some issues with some of my offensive linemen.
In Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. I said, look, going to battle with some of these guys is like going to Vietnam with
How many games did y'all win, Eric?
You got there looking like Willie B.
One game.
And so if Le'Veon brings that attitude that you brought to the Colts, it could disrupt.
Y'all forgetting how relationship dynamics go. Like, if you got beef in a relationship, you got to go through it. You got to talk through it. The makeup is better than it was before.
What if, I'm serious, you could make the decision that I found something better.
No. And so there is no makeup.
No. The offensive line, how they feel.
Man.
This guy is a one-cut, he runs different than Le'Veon. I think blocking for Le'Veon's a different story. Perhaps they prefer James Conner. That is a possibility.
All of this may be just more conversation than necessary. James Conner's in concussion protocol.
That's what I said. How
the same week that Le'Veon supposedly comes back. This might be an easy switcheroo right here.
All right, to the Panthers, safety Eric Reed, who was ejected from the game after hitting Ben Roethlisberger in the head at the end of a run. Reed is no stranger to controversy this year, suing the NFL for collusion and getting into it with Malcolm Jenkins before a game. After this game, Reed made it sound like the league was out to get him, claiming he had been tested for PEDs 5 times. The NFL responded in a tweet from PR guy Brian McCarthy saying, quote, PED testing. Each week during the season, 10 players per club will be tested by means of a computer program. The policy's jointly appointed independent administrator randomly selects before the game players to be tested. Page 5 of the NFLPA policy.
You're right.
Eric Reed launched himself at an NFL quarterback, and he's acting shocked, and people are acting shocked that he got tossed out of the game. He launched himself at an NFL quarterback who's sliding. That's text, and then said afterwards, oh, I didn't even know you could be ejected. Well, they've been talking about it all offseason. While you were running around mad and suing the league, wasn't paying attention to the NFL rules. He's not being targeted and picked on, but that's the deal. If you take a knee, you can complain. Anything that happens to you now is the NFL's picking on me and they colluding against me and they toss me out of the game. You launched yourself at Ben Roethlisberger, a guy they draw TV ratings with. You're going to get tossed.
Yeah, amazing. What's the old cliche? We're all the leading man in the movie in our head. You know, we're all the star of that movie. Yeah. And he thinks this whole world is about Eric Reed right now. And guess what, Eric Reed? It ain't, bro. The NFL is not trying to target you for PED testing, and they certainly didn't tell you to torpedo downward into a sliding quarterback. Like, in the moment of truth, when you know what Roethlisberger is about to do and you know what you want to do, that is the moment that we're talking about. Is the NFL involved in that moment, or are you and your choice in that moment to try and send a message? So that's one. And the PED part, thank you, Brian McCarthy, for setting these people straight. I was a player rep for 9 to 10 years. It makes me laugh sometimes when players go around and say stuff, and I'm like, ignorance is no excuse. Like, no one has read the entire rule book from page to page. I get that. But do not project, like, oh, they're targeting me, because this is how it goes. Every single year, they randomly select cats. I played 10 years. 8 of those 10 years, I only got tested maybe once. But guess what? In my mind, I did a calculation. That means somebody on another team is getting tested 4, 5, 6 times for this to balance out. How come you can't think outside of yourself and realize this is just how they balance it out randomly?
How many times did Eric Reed get tested before he took a knee? That's what I want. Has he ever had a drug problem? Has he ever?
It's
had
a
PED?
Random.
Oh, no.
It's a random.
It's random, but I just, I still feel like, yes, they are singling him out because of this the kneeling thing. I believe. Now look, launching at a.
They threw him out of the game.
Wait a minute!
Kneeling.
I didn't say I'm finna go to that right now.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You don't ever let me talk.
Let me build my argument.
You got me my argument.
My way.
Yeah, that is wrong. I mean, he launched himself. Now that's wrong. But all of a sudden, he has to get tested after the game. So they're going to say, what, man, you on PED, so we got to test you. Thank you. Because you launched yourself, you probably on something. That, to me,
that's
just.
That's not what happened.
What,
yeah.
Wait.
They test punters? They test.
After the game?
It's a new rule that they do test after the game.
I'm old school.
Take the leather home at all.
Okay, I'm sorry. I still got the leather helmet.
Somebody else wants to sue the NFL.
I never sued the NFL. Well, they did me wrong, so I had to sue.
That's it.
I'm like Marcellus. It's been years where I've played, and I haven't got a drug test.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, man, what's going on? When I'm going to get tested?
Yeah.
And then it's been years where I've gotten one, it's felt like every other week. And I'm sitting there like, come on, man. It's no way y'all are drawing my name every other week. Like, it's 53, 60-some other guys in this locker room. And so I don't think he's being treated unfairly or being targeted, but it's a hell of a coincidence.
Having
been in that process and Marcellus was in that process as of late, I mean, that's just how the system and how the program works. And sometimes, I mean, a hell of a coincidence can just be that.
How about the coincidence that every week since he came back into the NFL, he's in a new controversy. He's trying to fight Malcolm Jenkins. Mm. Didn't he took a dirty shot, I believe, on Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
This is the second time he's taken a dirty shot at a quarterback. Every week there's something. What was it, a couple weeks ago or a week or two ago, he was complaining about something else that we chastised him for. Every week it's something with this dude. He's attention starved. It's always about Eric Reed, and it's almost never about police brutality that he's allegedly is so passionate about, he's got to take a knee. This week is I'm being unfairly drug tested. The other week it was Malcolm Jenkins is a sellout. Mm-hmm. It's always something with this dude.
Yeah, man, it's like, help me help you. You know, Grandma always said that, like, you know, don't be your worst enemy. Don't be your own opponent. And in some of these situations, I take you back to when I was an active player, third year in the league, and I wanted to get another degree, a graduate degree. So it sounds great. I went to Harvard for 2 weeks, and then I dropped out because I was like, I got too much money and I'm playing football right now. But I took a course in broadcasting, and they talked about the great orators of our generation, where you want to go to President Kennedy, you want to go Martin Luther King, et cetera. And guess what they said day one, because I only stayed for 2 weeks. Day one, stay on message. You ever seen a politician when they talk and you're like, yeah, I heard that already. Yeah, I heard that already. And they just stay on phrasing, stay on message. Because if you don't, it won't be digested by those who are taking it in. My advice to Eric Reed, as you just said, is to stay on message. Like whenever something comes up that is a buzz from your name, get it right back to your cause. If not, it will be forever lost, and that's part of what's undermined his campaign in the first place.
And his cause is Eric Reed.
I am Senior Airman Del Maeda from the 386 ECES Squadron. I want to give a special shout out to the Cincinnati Bengals and my family, my parents, and most importantly, my kids, Hiya Mia and Easton and Josh.
We'd like to welcome some servicemen from the U.S. Army to our set right now. Thank you guys for your service.
Yes.
All right, Whitlock and Wiley here. Eric Dickerson and D'Angelo Hall are back. Let's move to Dez Bryant, who practiced with his new team, the Saints, this week and insists he's not going to change who he is. Reportedly, Dez will sit out this weekend against the Bengals, but Dez's old team, the Cowboys, head to Philly for a season-defining showdown with the Eagles and will be looking for more out of Amari Cooper than they got in his first game. All right, the question here is, who's going to have a bigger impact the rest of this season, Amari Cooper or Dez Bryant? This is easy for me.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper's the number one receiver in Dallas, and Dez Bryant's going to be like the fourth guy in New Orleans. Amari Cooper's going to have a bigger impact than Dez Bryant the rest of this season?
Easy for me as well. And it's not Amari Cooper. It's Dez Bryant. I just simply go by this. Because you know playing football, matchups are key. And also the fear you can strike in your opponent obviously gives you opportunity to go out there and play great. Amari Cooper, good player to great player at times. Will be number one, so he will get the number one cornerback. Dez Bryant, right now, being mischaracterized as like a third, fourth receiver, who's going to go against
mischaracterized?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's not a three or four. He's not.
He was out of the league, Marcellus, half the year.
That's great. That's great, but that's
what number are you? You were just like him a week ago.
Who was my quarterback? If I had Dak Prescott retiring me, too, guess what? I'd be up here broadcasting like I am. I simply give it to you like this. Dez Bryant against a number four cornerback, a dime cornerback, some second-year player, sixth-rounder, who's going to try and guard me. Good luck with that. And this is how you look at it. I give out grades for the offensive personnel, including the coaches. I give Sean Payton an A. I give Drew Brees an A. I give Alvin Kamara an A. I give Michael Thomas an A. Now, go to the Cowboys and start giving some A's out outside of Ezekiel Elliott. Don't worry, I'll wait.
Yeah. How come you didn't give Dez a grade?
Because you know, Dez is going to be able to ride the wave with those guys in that offense.
Ride the wave?
Yes. You don't think that's going to open up opportunities?
Just because you got an
Michael
A.
Michael Thomas getting double teamed?
Doesn't mean I get a B or a C.
Michael
or
Thomas
D.
getting double teamed and Dez is on the fourth cornerback?
Look, this this is the issue with Dez. And I love Dez as a person and a player. I really do.
Yeah.
But I don't know what kind of shape Dez is in. I don't know what Dez I'm getting. Yes, I'm getting a mentally motivated Dez, obviously, because he's been home. He's hungry. He's ready to get back out there and play.
Very hungry. He's 5 pounds overweight.
He ain't that hungry.
But what is Dez's role going to be? Like, we don't know that. And so, like Witt said, we know what Amari Cooper is. He is the number one receiver. I heard somebody say, well, let's wait and see what he does this week before. No. You better play him now because he's going to get targets, as you saw.
What's it mean?
The interception where they threw it with two guys on him.
58 yards. Oh, great impact.
He got targets.
He got Dak. Dak can't throw for 200 yards consistently.
Dez is not even going to play this week.
That's great, but when he does,
and then next week,
and his team will be playing in January and the other team won't.
And that's why I'm saying he has the potential to have a bigger impact because this team, the Saints, they're going to be good whether Dez was a part of them or not. And so just to put him in as another piece to the to the puzzle, I think Dez can have an impact moving forward as far as playoffs and deep into the, you know, the end of the season. But come on, man.
Eric,
a number one receiver versus a number four target.
When I think of Amari Cooper is a guy that sometimes he can be good, he can be great, and he can be lazy. And when you look at what he's going to Dallas Cowboys, they don't have, and I like Dez. I mean, I like Dak. I do like Dak. They don't have the protection. They don't have a tight end. The offensive line is not good right now. I mean, they're not blocking. So what is Amari Cooper gonna do? I mean, really, he's a number one, but he's not. They're gonna target him. They possibly target him, but he won't get the ball much. It's not gonna be what they think it is. If he was in Sean Payton's offense. Oh, it's a different ball game. I give Dez Bryant because I think what's going to help Dez is around the goal line. He's going to make plays when he has to make. They're
Why?
Not making. Then hold on, can I finish?
Why?
Dez is not even number one target.
That's the good thing
that's
about
great.
It. That's the great thing.
We got a core of
receivers. The number ball though, but guys. Has, it's one football.
I know, but the thing is who's going to be like? All right, we ain't got to worry about Dez. But they do have to worry about Dez, especially around the goal line. I think he's going to be especially
Eric,
helpful around
favor.
The goal
ED,
line.
Do me a favor.
Yes.
Name one other number four target on any team in football.
Dez.
Name one of them. We're talking about an impact.
Right,
you can't
right.
name
another.
We're
not even saying he's going to be a number four. We don't know what he's going to be.
I know.
He's going to be one. Right?
No, he's not going to be one.
He's not going to be two.
He's not going to be two.
Him and Ben Watson going to fight for that number three spot.
Right.
Come on, Kansas City, they number three if you want to talk about Sammy Watkins or something.
I would take Dez.
Kareem Hunt.
I would take Dez around that goal line. I would take him over Michael Thomas right now, around the goal line.
And a receiver is a dependent position.
What did you just say?
I would take him around the goal line.
The man wasn't in the league, Eric.
That's
what Michael Thomas is going to be a first team all pro.
Look who his quarterback is.
Thank you.
Look who his quarterback. Look who his offensive minded coach is.
Thank
Sean Payton, not Jason Garrett.
We're trying to make Dez the Dez of old. And I had a problem with that. I wanted to compare Dez to the Dez that I was out there pressed up against going into these extreme battles with mentally and physically, just going at each other. I wanted to compare Dez to that Dez. I had to go back and watch Dez a little more operate. Dez is not the same player he was.
And that could be fine.
That can be fine.
I'll give you why. Where is Amari Cooper playing offensively? Dallas. Who's his quarterback? Dak. What have they been ranked in passing offense the 3 years with Dak?
Thank you.
23, 26, and 27. What the hell? Y'all acting like he going to go there and all of a sudden things going to change. Week one with him?
I'm going to give you
58 yards.
If I got 20 shots, if I get 20 shots in the NBA game and you get five, Who you think gonna have a bigger impact on that game?
You don't understand. You would
hit them five big shots.
If you hit all five.
If I hit three big, I hit one big one.
Every night, I'll let you get your five shots, give me 20. And I guarantee you won't finish with more than that.
Oh, man, this is a New England effect.
That's all
this
I'm
is
saying.
A feeding frenzy
Amari
work.
Is gonna have
this,
more
is a, this is a Chris Hogan just saying, hey, let me just be out there with the other receivers, the Edelmans, and the better receivers. And guess what? I'm going to all of a sudden start to have impact. I'm not saying that Dez is better than Amari Cooper,
but
he's just in such a better place he's going to get his results.
You know what makes guys like Chris Hogan and them fly under the radar? Is people don't know them. Everyone knows Dez. Dez's not going to sneak up on nobody.
Right. And you
like, come on, man. Even as the second and third corner, you don't think Eli Apple is going
to
be like,
put some money on
I know Dez. I'm ready.
I'm
ready.
I'm betting on this one. I'm betting on Dez.
Dez Bryant wasn't in the league. And you acting like there's number three and four corners sitting around shaking in their boots. Some guy that's been laying at home eating Cheetos and is 5 pounds overweight. Oh, I'm supposed to be scared to death.
You know he's not eating Krispy Kreme.
Well, he might be. I'm supposed to be scared. Dez, they done brought him out of retirement. I'm scared to death.
You act like Dez was at home because he didn't have options and he didn't have opportunities. Dez has chosen, whether it's Baltimore, the Cleveland situation.
Oh, you believe that somebody's going without. Because, they turning down options.
Yeah, Greg Williams. Know. Greg Williams. Yeah. Everybody wanted him. He got letters. Greg, he got letters Greg Williams style, baby. Don't believe it.
Fox Sports Supports is proud to partner with The Mission Continues, a nonprofit organization deploying military veterans to build stronger communities across the nation by improving schools, revitalizing parks, and fostering neighborhood development. Visit www.missioncontinues.org to learn more.
For military men and women, the desire to serve is in their core. Yet when they come home, too often their potential remains untapped. We're building a movement of veterans and volunteers, joining forces to transform our neighborhoods. We go beyond community service. We're a catalytic force driving lasting impact across the country. We are. The Mission Continues. To serve alongside us or donate, visit missioncontinues.org.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. We're joined now by NBA champion Jason Terry and Fox NBA analyst Iceberg Jim Jackson. Iceberg. All right, let's move to the NBA, where the Warriors got blown out by the Milwaukee Bucks last night, losing by 23 at home. Golden State hasn't had a home loss that bad in more than 2 years, and it didn't help that Steph Curry left the game in the third quarter with a leg strain. Afterwards, Steve Kerr took a practical view of the loss.
Sometimes you got to get hit in the mouth in this league to remind you how hard it is to win a game. And I thought that's what happened tonight. I think, you know, we got a little complacent. We won the last eight, you know, feeling pretty good about ourselves. And one of those nights, and it happens. You know, it happens during the NBA season.
All right, so what's the takeaway here, guys? The Warriors complacent, or did the Bucks announce, hey, we're potentially the best team in the East? I kind of lean towards, I think last night's game said a lot about the Milwaukee Bucks, that they are for real. And perhaps, I mean, right now, I think they're clearly better than the Boston Celtics. And it's between them and the Toronto Raptors, who's the best in the East.
Respect to the Bucks, and obviously a newfound confidence. When LeBron vacates the East, I think everybody feels that jolt of energy and opportunity in front of you. Hey, we got a chance to go out there, and we don't have to see the King. That said, I think this is about the complacency of the Warriors, and we saw this last year. We saw them last year get questioned. Steve Kerr and Kevin Durant even had words in the media saying, hey, man, don't ever say we don't care or we're being complacent. Like, we sometimes just have a bad night. This is the new NBA as I see it, and I think LeBron kind of taught everyone this. Like, stop chasing records and 73 wins.
They don't care about the regular season,
just like an
That's
NBA
what
game.
LeBron taught them.
Oh, really?
Good lesson.
Really?
You act like that's not fact, babe.
When LeBron can enter the playoffs, number message. 2 seed, 3 seed. What do you mean, good message? How did 73 wins serve him? How did that serve him?
Served him great. I enjoyed it as a fan. You got to remember, I'm a fan. I don't play for Golden State. I'm a fan.
And that's why I think NBA players have realized, like, look, man, it's going to be those.
About me, the fan?
No, I'm just saying that if I'm on that team, I'm not concerned with Jason Whitlock at home eating popcorn, watch me ball. So I'm thinking it's the new way to go get it.
But Jay, I think the answer is both. Complacency, one thing for Golden State. I talked about it last year, and this year is the same thing. You win so much, it comes so easy. You go have games like this. Listen. In 96, 97, the Bulls won 68 games and won the championship. Mm-hmm. I was with the Nets, and we beat them. So what? I mean, it was just one
nice
of those.
You talking about it now.
Yeah,
I'm bragging about it right now.
I'm bragging nice about it, but it didn't mean anything in the bigger scheme because they came in.
Nice conversation.
And said, you know what, we'll get this game, and they did. But I will say this. At the beginning of the season, I said three teams improved in the Eastern Conference. Yep. Toronto, okay. Also Boston by getting Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back. And Milwaukee because of Mike Budenholzer on the bench. Mm. And right now it's paying dividends with the way they're playing defensively, offensively. This is a totally different group, so it says a lot about them last night.
Well, Milwaukee has definitely bought into what Budenholzer's selling, right? I mean, spread it around. Everybody shoot threes. I'm telling you right now, John Henson has made more threes than he's ever attempted in his entire basketball career, AAU basketball included. And so they're having fun. They're having fun. The chemistry is great. You got the Greek Freak, who to me is top five in the league right now. He's the only player averaging 25 plus points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Jason, let me stop you here for a second. I'm good at making bold statements. Saying Giannis is one of the top five players in the league,
you're saying
that's not bold. No, that's not bold. Is he the MVP?
Right.
Right now, I think he looks like the
MVP.
He's
definitely a candidate because if you look at the overall team success, 9-2, going to Oracle, knocked them down. Now, you guys talked about complacency, but they didn't have Draymond Green. There's no war in Warriors without Draymond because you know he's a dog.
Well, yeah, how important, don't you, from Milwaukee's perspective, I think the bigger picture is how can they compete in the Eastern Conference? To me, it's Eric Bledsoe.
Yes.
How he plays, and you play point guard.
Yeah.
So how important is he?
And play with Bledsoe, but he's a fiery competitor. As you know, last night, he made Steph Curry work tremendously hard, not only on the offensive end, but defensively. He gets up into you. He's one of the most dynamic point guards we have in this league when you talk about strength, size, and power. The ability to go from end to end. Mm-hmm. That's what he does for that team. And you add him with Malcolm Brogdon. But I'm going to tell you another guy that I like, Jim. He kind of reminds me of you a little bit. Chris Middleton. Because it's great mid-range game, can post up, but he also has a deadly touch from three, which he's shooting a career high this year.
You played with Milwaukee in that team. Do you see them as a team that that should win the East?
Yeah, and I still play for Milwaukee.
I'm getting them checks in the 15th.
So
you on that Hugh Jackson.
I can't wait to get that playoff bonus when it kicks in. But no, I definitely see them as a definite competitor in the East. Toronto obviously is there and Boston, but between those are the top three seeds in the East, as we said here today.
You compared Chris Middleton to Jim Jackson.
Yes,
how's Chris with the ladies? Any connection?
More Berg than Ice.
Hi, this is Senior Airman Andrew Kasperski from the 455th EMXS at Bagram, Afghanistan. Just want to give a shout out to the Chicago Bears and all my friends and family. Thanks.
Fox Sports salutes veterans. That is a look at Fort Benning, Georgia, which will be home for Fox NFL kickoff and Fox NFL Sunday this weekend as we honor the troops. Catch it all starting at 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday on Fox. All right, welcome back. I'm Jason Whitlock. He's Marcellus Wiley. Time to put on our thinking caps.
I hear you.
Jim Jackson and Jason Terry are back as well. As you all know, I'm a journalist, And we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer, Columbia's own.
Oh, Marcellus.
So we're going to take a deeper look at an issue in sports.
Yes,
all right, Darnell, come on out. Bring out the cap for. Sorry, y'all have to sit through this.
Thank you very much.
We pretend like Marcellus is smarter than everybody else.
Don't test that degree.
That Ivy League.
It ain't going to be good.
Jim went to Ohio State. Jason, I can't. You went to Arizona, right?
Arizona.
Oh, we already know what you up to.
Athletic University.
That's all it was.
That was it.
Sunshine.
Right.
All right, let's move to the NBA. Where the Rockets continue their slow start, putting up just 80 points and a blowout loss to the Thunder. It was a chance for Houston's Carmelo Anthony to get some revenge on his old team, but Melo scored 2 points on just 1-for-11 shooting. And at this point in his career, it looks like the former All-Star is in free fall, with huge drops in his production across the board the last couple of seasons. Look, I think Carmelo Anthony is damaging himself right now with the Houston Rockets. I think he's been damaging himself the last few years. And look, his pocketbook is doing great, but his legacy is getting beat up. He looks to me worse than Dwight Howard. His reputation right now, you're going to remember Carmelo more for losing than being a great basketball player.
Gonna forget about the NCAA championship, multiple gold medals, perennial
All-Star
scoring title.
Get him.
Just because he got older and now he's a role player.
He couldn't win in New York.
Okay.
He had
a 54 win.
I don't know too many people that did win in New York. Jim, how many years you played?
Come on, man. 14. That was the early 90s.
Didn't win then.
Can I borrow your cap?
You want this?
Yeah, I want this right here. Let me say this. Totally disagree.
Right.
Tell you what.
Drop knowledge.
I'm going to give you a prime example. Dominique Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's the thing. You say damaged legacy. Dominique at Atlanta. Great. But he fit in that great category.
I'm gonna tell you why you're wrong.
I'm not gonna hang myself. Here's the thing with Dominique. He was always, was he considered in the realm of Michael Jordan, Magic, Bird? No. They always talked about great scorer, dynamic athlete, but he didn't win. He ended up going to Boston, ended up going to the Clippers, ended up playing his career overseas and coming back. He's still top 50. We still relish in the fact of what Dominique did, who he was. He's a top 50 player. I think Carmelo, we knew what was going to happen in regards to him getting older. My expectations wasn't that high. I still believe he's going to be a top 50 player. Mm-hmm. They're going to look back at this later on. I don't think it hurts his legacy. I think everybody knew who Carmelo already was going into the season.
Jim.
What?
Yes, here it is.
Do you know what overshadowed everything about Dominique Wilkins?
What?
And what he's the human highlight reel.
But he wasn't a human highlight at Boston or the Clippers when he tore his Achilles.
That was his reputation. One of the most exciting players in the history of the NBA.
He's one of the most dynamic scorers that played in the
NBA. No, no,
yes, he is.
One-on-one.
Would y'all stop it?
No, we're not.
We're talking about Michael Jordan's league, Kobe Bryant. You can't.
He's up there.
No, he's not.
Melo's up there. Did you guard Melo? Did you guard Melo?
Yeah, he guarded him.
Okay, so you got to talk to somebody that guarded him.
Yes. Right.
One of the toughest players to have to guard was Melo. Because he's going to take a lot of shots, but he beat you in the mid-range. He can shoot over top of you. Yep. He was stronger than what you thought. So you're talking about people who played it that had to play against him. The man could score and get buckets, whether you like this game or not.
He can't win, and that's what he's going to be known for.
But so Dominique
is known for the highlights.
But he couldn't win.
Let me ask you a question. Who is going to win with Golden State and LeBron James in this era?
Well, hold on. Y'all chasing him down that rabbit hole? Don't do that. He's trying to fool y'all. Oh. First of all, I ain't never heard of Jason Whitlock and others talk about Carmelo's legacy until he's on the way now. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, you better protect your legacy, because when Carmelo was balling, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. They were taking shots at that dude when he was on top. Oh, all he is a one-dimensional scorer, and he's just over there gluing with the ball. And I'm like, y'all never gave him his props when he deserved them. And now you're going to say, protect the props that we didn't give you when he's on his way down. No one's going to remember these moments.
So you're saying that right now, If he stays like this, he's not getting the Hall of Fame. It's gonna damage him so much that he's going to be out of the Hall of Fame conversation.
Did I say anything?
No, but you're saying damaging.
Did I say anything about him not making the Hall of Fame?
He's not
Everybody makes the Hall of Fame, Jim.
I did.
Oh. In the NBA. You wanted a few. You wanted a few. Everybody makes the Hall of Fame.
JT, you on the ballot?
No.
Okay.
Look. You were three non-Hall of Famers up here.
Right.
Here's the point. When you think of Carmelo Anthony, not y'all, because y'all gonna see him and y'all friends with him or whatever.
I'm not friends
but the
with
rest
him.
Of us, the rest of us, when we think of Carmelo, what we gonna think about? Couldn't win. That's what we're gonna think. When you think of Dominique, you think highlights. When you think of Charles Barkley, you think one of the most incredible athletic freaks. He was the MVP of the league. He took a team to a championship. There's a bunch of guys that didn't win that you think of differently. Carmelo's a ball stopper. Jim, I get it that he gave it to you. I get it. He gave it to
that.
I said he was tough to go.
But that is a simple logic out there. A lot of casual fans, a lot of people just say, hear Carmelo Anthony, it just triggers, oh, you didn't win. He took the money over. But it's wrong.
We're in the now. 5, 10, 15 years later, it's going to be a different narrative.
But I'm telling you, to me.
I'm trying to think what you wanted him to win. It's LeBron James. Yeah. How many finals consecutively has he been through?
Am I not wrong? Wasn't Houston up 3-2 on Golden State last year?
He didn't have Carmelo.
No, I get it. And now they're trash this year. They're trash right
James
now.
Harden's
look at their roster. Look at their roster, first of all.
Games.
Look at their roster.
And they lost guys.
Look at their style of play with that roster. It doesn't fit. They won't change. What are we going to do? We're going to do what we do. We're going to do it better. How?
You can't. And they regress.
With no defenders.
And they regress. Now, part of the reason, too, they try to blame defensively, Carmelo comes in and says that it's his fault. I put this little board together just to show something about Carmelo right here. Now you got Mike Budenholzer coming back, hopefully, for the Rockets. Now, keep in mind right here, this is where they rank defensively. It is who they are. It is who they are. But last year in 17-18, Jeff Bezdilek had more of a say-so defensively, and they were seventh. He leaves, guess what? Now they're back up to 21st.
But guess who arrived?
It don't have nothing to do with Carmelo. Look before Carmelo.
That's crazy.
Look before Carmelo, they were 21st and 18th.
Right.
Okay, even with Trevor Ariza. So the common denominator to me is Jeff Bezdilek left, and now he's coming back. It's not so much Carmelo. He wouldn't go guard anyway.
Right.
You already knew that.
Right.
Let me tell you what the comment.
And who is he guarding? Because he's six man. He really ain't really guarding nobody.
I'm just gonna tell you. Y'all acting like he wasn't in OKC and there was a problem in OKC this year. He leaves OKC.
And it's still a problem in OKC. Yeah.
They just won seven straight, Jim,
but they started
and just clown suited Houston.
They started off slow.
Two without Westbrook. That's the winning formula.
Are
they going to win the championship in OKC?
Are they not better without Carmelo? Addition by subtraction. And then you added that subtraction to Houston, and guess what? Now they're trash.
This is telling right here because as a journalist and as the athletes up here and as
a
journalist, this is telling you, seriously. Carmelo's narrative has been controlled by journalists who said you chose losing over and you chose money over actually going out there being a competitor. Like you said, every athlete's like, dude, there's no chance of winning in Denver. Right. There's no chance of winning in New York. No. So we kind of leave it there and just say, are you buckets? Right. Are you game? And we say yes, but the narrative says no.
Does his legacy change if he goes to Golden State?
No, because they're going to win.
So does that change?
Why are you convinced? Where is Carmelo ever? Since Syracuse, where has he shown up where victories follow?
Put him on Golden State.
I'm going to say this about Houston. I put a lot of onus on Houston on the Rockets because this. They didn't want to play Ariza. Fine. As management, go out and find somebody else that can replace that role.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you want to compare Carmelo and his impact, put him on that same team and see if they regress. The team has totally changed dynamically from how they played last year personnel.
No doubt.
So a lot of that has to do with the front office and management of the Rockets. It's not the same team that the Rockets had last year, so it's hard to compare that.
It's not
totally
analytics.
Different. It's not
I'm just sitting here blown away.
Good.
OKC trashed last year, now on a 7-game winning streak. Blowout Houston. Houston's trash, but it has nothing to do with Carmelo. They Fight is the next film from Fox Sports' new documentary series entitled Magnify. The documentary follows lifestyle boxing, an after-school program in Washington, D.C.'s Ward 8. Watch They Fight Sunday on Fox. Check local listings for more info. All right, welcome back. time for my favorite segment, Antisocial. Y'all know I hate social media. Y'all know Darnell Smith, our social media manager, loves social media.
We heard.
So does Marcellus.
I love it, all in.
But I got my Twitter off.
Buy my book. buy my book.
All right, Marcellus, what's popping?
Marcellus.
Yeah, yeah, his name Darnell.
Darnell, my bad.
Your mentee.
My bad.
Right. Anyway, we're going to start with some breaking news in the NFL, where NFL Network's Tom Pelissero just tweeted a shocking development about Dez Bryant, writing, quote, Bryant was helped off the field at Saints practice today after suffering what the team fears may be a torn Achilles. Sources tell me and Ian Rappaport he's getting an MRI right now. Guys, what's your reaction to this Dez news?
My first reaction is that someone was right that Amari Cooper is going to have a bigger impact.
Man, don't turn this into that. Man, have some heart. What? You want to win an argument, this dude's career may be over. You ain't right, but let's hear it.
Obviously, I feel bad for Dez Bryant. He gets back in the NFL. He gets a chance to play with a Super Bowl team. And to have this happen, you know, thoughts and prayers with Dez because, you know, he's an emotional kid. I know this is heartbreaking. I hope he's strong enough. I hope his family rallies around him and people in football rally around him, get him through this.
Yeah, man, you wish this on no man. I tore my Achilles 4 years ago, so I know the injury very well. Luckily, I was already retired instead of in Dez's position where it may retire him. Hopefully, it doesn't. Three things that was said about Dez's return, that he was older, so be careful, out of shape for football playing, okay. But I heard something yesterday that put me on alert when I heard Sean Payton says, he was heavy. I would just want to educate people on what heavy means. Every year we always hear an athlete lose 5, 10, 20 pounds, and then you can see them play the game a lot differently. A doctor once told me, for every pound you carry over your optimal weight, it's 9 pounds of resistance and atmospheric pressure. What does that mean? If you 5 pounds overweight, Dez Bryant, as was stated, that's 45 pounds you are feeling in excess to gravity. So basically put a weight vest on yourself and then go out there day one and try to go 0 to 100 at an older age and you're not in football shape. It's a recipe for disaster. Unfortunately, he's in this predictament. I feel for him the same as you. My thoughts are with him, and hopefully he can respond to this.
I hate to crack this joke, but after listening to that, I hope I can get out of this chair when the show's over.
You and me both.
You imagine your atmospheric pressure? What?
Darnell, what's next?
Oh, man. All right, staying with some football. There's no secret that the Dallas Cowboys have been struggling this season. They're currently sitting at third in the NFC East with a 3-5 record, and a 7-year-old fan decided to voice his frustrations to Jerry Jones with this hilarious letter saying, quote, you have made my mom very mad because we suck. And then following up by saying, see what happens when Dez X is gone? Guys, should Jerry Jones clap back?
No, you can't clap back at a 7-year-old, but I would write a letter to the mom who actually wrote this.
Right.
She's the frustrated Cowboys fan.
Thank you.
And using her son to get some attention, and the media sucked it up and put it out
Thank
there.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, he the 7-year-old lucky he ain't talk about the Warriors and KD. KD clapping back. That little 7-year-old take that. This is something my grandmother, when we got a little too big for our britches, she say, sit your managed butt down. You know what that means? Ain't no 7-year-old talking like that. No 7-year-old writing this. And if you are, sit your managed butt down. Like, I don't even want to hear. It wasn't even funny to me. It was just like, that's an interesting household right now. This little 7-year-old going off like that. Y'all need to calm down.
Put it on Facebook and got national attention. Hey, congratulations, young lady.
Right, it worked. Right.
The sun exactly. Didn't work.
Check in on
Darnell, we're blaming you. Twitter, Facebook off.
On
everything. Yeah, there we go.
Get out of here.
All right, man. Staying with the NFL, we all know the Saints beat the Rams on Sunday, and Marcus Peters said Coach Sean Payton was talking a little trash on the sidelines.
Mm.
Take a listen.
On him, one
Tell
on
Sean
one.
Payton keep talking that shit. We gonna see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him to keep talking that shit, and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Guys, the game was 5 days ago. People are still talking about it online. Should Peter just take the L and move on?
Yeah, because he just saw you, and they laid a can of whoop-ass on you. I don't think this is the time to
is
be talking.
Is that the can right there?
Yeah, he got
right.
dragged.
Is that the can?
Yeah,
there we go.
Marcus Peters, pipe down.
Yeah, he going full Bishop Tupac right now. Hoodie on in the elevator. You ain't going to shoot me in the elevator. Yeah, I am. This is Sean Payton. This is what he does. He actually
goes at it. His coaching style is like, I'm one of the players on the field. Multiple players have said, hey, Sean Payton will give you the business if they out there. So it's funny that Marcus Peters still feeling that relax and let your play speak first, because you can't say stuff like that after we saw you get roasted like you did.
One more, Darnell, before we go.
Yes, sir. Last but not least, watching The Herd this morning, and our guy Colin was talking about Aaron Rodgers, and he believes he's sending a message to Coach McCarthy. Take a listen.
Message?
Aaron Rodgers leads the NFL by a mile in throwaways. That's a message. That's a, yeah, this didn't work either. This play with no motion didn't work either. Your offensive scheme, which is, guys, get open. We're not going to get you open through schemes. Just get open. That's a message.
I think Colin is on to something here.
Nah, I think the message is I got a bad knee. I'm going to throw the ball away before anybody hits and hurts me. He's an older guy. I think he's just getting rid of the football.
I echo that. That's a great point. I have never walked on the field trying to make a point to the point where it undermined my success. Like, especially when you're Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't have all the championship accolades, just one, but has to win in other columns, like passing yardage, touchdowns. He ain't out there throwing it away on purpose to send a shot to Mike McCarthy and not respect his legacy? Nah.
Yeah, I don't see it, because, one, I think that would be unfair to all of his teammates.
Yeah, exactly.
And all that. I mean, you really would have to think Aaron Rodgers is really selfish and really narcissistic, and maybe that's true, but to that level,
right,
I just don't see it. Guy's got a bad knee. He's getting rid of the football. I bet. Imagine they're coaching him to do that. Don't take any shots.
There it is.
All right, great job, Darnell. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Eric Reed. Uncle Jimmy, welcome back.
Ominous Dominus.
Ominous. What is going on?
First of all, let me say that for the duration of this contractual obligation, I'm going to have to ask that you refer to me as the good Reverend Al Sharptongue, if you wouldn't mind, for the duration of this segment. That's what we're going to do right here.
Man. You have a church? What church?
Hold on. Let me get to my business first, because I need to let everybody know, man. I'm going to be performing, or I'm going to be at the Spearmint Rhino.
The Spearmint
Rhino? Yeah, I'm going to be down there, man. I'm going to be laying on hands and speaking in tongues. You understand what I'm saying? I got some work I got to do, you know?
Oh, man.
Where's your church at?
I'm up north, man. I'm at the Good Mother Mary Queen Boutique Gold Front Check Cashing Chinese Food Church of God in Christ. Hey, man, now, how about myself? What you think about that, Marcellus?
It's up north, too, huh, boy?
That's what I'm talking about, Mike.
The whole hood is.
We need to keep it moving.
Please do.
We're talking about Eric Reed. We want to show the highlight from our discussion earlier in the show about Eric Reed. Eric Reed launched himself at an NFL quarterback, and he's acting shocked. And people are acting shocked that he got tossed out of the game. And then said afterwards, oh, I didn't even know you could be ejected. Well, they've been talking about it all offseason. While you were running around mad and suing the league, you wasn't paying attention to the NFL rules.
Amazing. What's the old cliche? We're all the leading man in the movie in our head. You know, we're all the star of that movie. Yeah. And he thinks this whole world is about Eric Reed right now. And guess what, Eric Reed? It ain't, bro.
That is wrong. I mean, he launched himself. Now, that's wrong. But all of a sudden, he has to get tested after the game. So they're going to say, what, man, you on PED, so we got to test you. Thank you. Because you launched yourself, you probably on something.
I didn't know the leather helmet off.
Okay, I'm sorry. I still got the leather helmet.
Somebody else wants to sue the NFL.
I never sued the NFL. No, I did sue the NFL. Well, they did me wrong, so I had to sue.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, what did you think of our discussion about Eric Reed?
Well, I'm so glad once again we get to come back and I have to circumvent this situation to get to where I need to be.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Let me explain this to you now. Now, listen to me when I tell you this. See, Eric Reed didn't land on Ben Roethlisberger. See, the swift hand of injustice landed on Eric Reed. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me now. Let me ask you a question. Did you see when T.J. Maxx tried to decapitate Cam Newton? Did you see it?
T.J. why?
No, I bet you didn't see it. You know why you didn't see it? You was in the kitchen getting snacks, wasn't you? You was getting snacks, wasn't you?
T.J.
Watt. That's what the ball told you. That's all you know. Snacks. That's what you know.
T.J. Watt, and it wasn't the same. Don't go there.
No.
Al Sharptongue.
No. I got it right here. It's right here in front of me. Look here, it was T.J. Maxx, T.J. Watt, it don't matter, okay? But let me tell you something, we're going to be picketing, we're going to be boycotting out there, you know what I'm saying? No justice, no peace, until all we get remember. Something that talks about the quarterback that's trying to hurt the big black quarterback. That's all I want to try to say.
Mr. Reverend Al Sharpton, please.
Did Aaron Reed do something wrong? Until we get justice for the big black quarterback, we ain't going back.
Huh. Did you think Eric Reed was in the right or in the wrong for launching like that?
Did you think that T.J. Watts was wrong for launching like that?
Man, it's not the
same. Let me ask you a question. Real talk.
I'm listening.
Did Cam Newton start wearing them hats like that before he started getting it in the head like that?
I don't remember.
We gotta get to our approval ready.
Comb that hair out, little boy, before you get on.
We gotta get to our approval ready.
You're a hater.
I almost have Eric Reed as a dumpster fire.
Whoa.
He's at a 42 total, 16 in job performance, 6 in all-time greatness, 15 in character, and 5 in authenticity. He's fake. He says he's about to protest. He's about Eric Reed. 42 total.
He fake. He ain't fake. He just not staying on message. You think that's fake?
Yeah, that's fake. Because the message is Eric Reed.
He's staying on that message, huh?
Yes, he is.
Boy, you guys, here go mine. Let me give you
mine. I got a message for you.
You see mine up there. What you got?
What's the message? Since y'all debating, you know, the Bible say, he who go to bed with an itchy booty will find himself waking up with a smelly finger. Well, hey, man, all by myself. What you think about that, Marshallis?
Boy, I'm glad it's Friday. The executives got a couple days to deal with that one. We come back Monday, hopefully. I got a 62. He ain't no dumpster fire. He's not even close to dumpster fire. I got him at 18, all-time greatness 7. I like his character. Hey, he's sticking to his guns, whatever you may feel about that. Authenticity, 18. You know why? A little above average. I feel a little what you're saying, though, but not all.